For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Amen? Or as Handel's Messiah said, and he shall reign forever and ever. King of kings. You uneducated lot. Your homework today is to go home, Google Handel's Messiah, and get into it. The most beautiful piece of song ever written. It's beautiful. He had a revelation. But I love that verse. Unto us a child is born. Under us a son is given. It's so poetic, don't you think? It's like, you know, it's a beautiful, thought out sort of, you know, psalm or a song that Isaiah must have grabbed hold of and said, you know what, I've just got to share this. And it's just wonderful. I reckon it's a Hallmark card moment, don't you think? Because that's what Christmas is all about, right? Christmas is about this beautiful sense of loving, kindness, generous, peace. It really is. I love it. And I love when poetry is all mixed up with it. I think Christmas Day is the cause of art. When you really think about it, it's such a magical thing. It really is. But I think about how sometimes it gets very busy and Christmas can be chaotic and fun and distracting and to a point where we just can't wait for the day to get over, because what Christmas has been is a lot of putting up a tree, buying gifts, negotiating, you know, the crowds, making sure there's enough food, tidying the house, making sure that, you know, you can avoid that crazy uncle that you're going to have to spend time with. By the way, if you don't have a crazy uncle, you're probably he. But no one really gets stressed over Christmas, right? Hello? That's a nice squirrel. Squirrel? Fox. It's an Eevee? Aren't you an Eevee? She got there. When you think about this whole story, that under us a child is born, under us a son is given, God sent a baby to grow up to be the Messiah. It's not that big a deal, really, is it? Or is it? I just want to share with you some thoughts I had on Christmas just a week or two ago. From Philippians, this book, which is one of Paul's happy letters. And he's actually encouraging the church. And he's actually saying things along the lines of, hey, stick in, stay strong. I need you to be a great representative for the gospel. And because, you know, it was a Roman colony. And they were having a hard time. Paul had a hard time there. He's put in jail there. But he's encouraging the church. And right near the beginning, he says this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So he's challenging them. Think like God. Think like Jesus, okay? But what comes after this is just amazing when you think about it. Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Wow. He was God. It says equal to God. He was God in heaven who ruled. Yeah. Verse 7. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, the Son of God, Jesus, was there in the very beginning. John starts his gospel by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then he goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He was there when everything was created. It's not as if God just formed the baby and said, I'm going to turn you into the Messiah. No, 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 no. He was already there. And he was the one who created things. He is the Word. Remember, God spoke the word, let there be light. He spoke and the word made everything. He created every planet, every star, put them in place. He created the galaxies of which we cannot even count anymore, how many there are. Every day they seem to discover new ones. He formed the concept of time and placed us in that. He actually set our beings in place, gave us a destiny, set out our plans for us to live, and in all that, breathed life into us. This is whom we're speaking about. We're speaking about this son unto us, a child is born. We're talking about this awesome God, awe-inspiring God who came along. He holds all of authority, and in heaven, when he walks on by, the angels keep crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Isaiah had a vision of that. And every time they screamed it, the doorpost shook. How amazing is this person that we sang about today? This little baby that we think is cute in a manger. Oh, he's much more than just a baby who's cute in a manger. The guy took on the form of a human baby and he was born in a feed trough in a place called Bethlehem. Just to give you an indication of Bethlehem, if Sydney was Jerusalem or Jerusalem was Sydney, Bethlehem would be Newtown or Redfern. That far away and probably, you know, got its struggles. That's where Jesus was born. But he came and he grew into a man and he became really nothing, the ultimate servant, really. He laid hands on lepers and saw them healed. He hung out with what people would consider the outcasts of society and got criticized for it. He washed his disciples' feet and said, "This is the way it should be." He went to a young girl who'd made some really bad decisions, knelt down beside her and said, "Honey, I hold nothing against you." Lifted her up. This is the one who created the universe, who had all authority in heaven, but yet he came to do that. He made himself obedient to, when you think about it, the worst kind of death that could be imaginable and torture. Born is a child, given is a son. This time can be wild and sometimes quite fun. But there's more to the story, much more to know, far less boring than ribbons and bows. Was wrongly accused, silent he sat, beaten and bruised, spat on, sworn at. "Who hit you now?" the jest of the crowd. "A whip for a plow, thorns for a crown. A splintery load, he carried the beam, a cold cobbled road, no breath for a scream. Exhaustion takes hold, clouds fill the sky, skin clammy cold, his mouth parched dry. Reaching the summit, punctured and raised, he gave up his spirit, dead for 3 days. That death on the cross, senseless and cruel, it seemed like a loss, no reason for Yule. That babe in a manger was born to die, for friend and for stranger, for you and for I. The king is now risen, death is defeated, best present given, on the right he is seated. That gift keeps on giving, Holy Spirit is with us, abundant life giving, O Holy Christmas." That's the son that was given, the child that was born, was the one who came for us. With that in mind, I just want to share with you very quickly three things that I think about at Christmas time. When I read that thing, unto us a child is born, what do I think about? Well, the first thing I think about is I think about the price of that present. It's an incredible price. The price tag is unbelievably high on the price that he gave. In fact, he gave his all. You think about the perfect present. It was wrapped pretty well in a thing called grace. It was personal. It was an experience. and it's never ending. The batteries are included. You shall receive power, right? But when you think about the cost of what heaven must have thought when it was time, okay, the Savior of the world is about to be born into a mortal world. I wonder what they felt like. Was there a silence, like unspeakable silence, when they realized what he was about to do? Because this gift is a huge gift that the God of all the world would say, okay, I'm going to pay my biggest price for this. I'm going to make sure that it's given to humanity. Wow. How much does he regard humanity? I think about, you know, while purchasing gifts or receiving gifts, there is no gift that can compare to the gift that the Lord has given us. And it's free, it's a gift, but it cost him a lot. How often do I disregard it or put it on a shelf? But yet he still continues the enormity of the gift, even though I ignore it, it's still powerful. Oh, I think about the price of the present. Pretty huge. Second thing I like to think about is the love in which it was given. Christianity is not about how much you love God. I'm sorry, it's not. It's how much he loves you. That's the astonishing thing about Christianity. How much he loves me. I just got to sit back at Christmas time and realize, whoa, he really loves me. This whole creator of the universe who put together all the cosmos, even the little thought processes of an ant, the intricacies of its body, even the little beings that are even too small for us to see, he still has the details of his creation. Intricate. This amazing God, when you think about, there is nothing he cannot do. But yet, he's got all that to contend with, but yet he still loves me. Enough to say, hey, I see your faults, but I'll forget them all. I've seen what you've done, but that's no problem, because my son paid it all. I want you to receive my gift anyway. And just receives me. His love is incredible. Friend, I think on Christmas to get a fresh revelation of his love for you is one of the greatest things you'll ever do. He loves me. And it will never end. It will always be there. There is no greater love. I'm loved by my family. I feel that all the time. But there is no greater love than the love that he has given me. There is no conditions to it. There is no anger in him for me. There's only love, acceptance, and forgiveness that he pours under my life. So I think about that. And also think about, last thing I think about is I think about worshiping him. Oh, what is worship? Well, in our day and age, we tend to link worship with songs, yeah, or music. It's much more than that, of course, but I often think about what the angels would have been like when they came and visited this little baby. They fell down and they worshipped him to glorify him, to lift him up. The magi, or the wise men, who ventured for years, probably turned up this two-year-old toddler and just began to fall on their faces because this little child, they worshipped him. Everyone who came, they just worshipped him. The drummer boy, I'm sure he would have worshipped. It would have been a rock band passing through Bethlehem. He probably dropped in, right? It's plausible. I love to worship him. And I love at Christmas time to not forget that this is not so much about the food I'm wanting to eat or the friends I'm going to hang out with or the gifts I'm going to unwrap. It's going to be about a Savior that I just want to say, wow, beyond my words, I love you. And I'll give you glory, Lord, because of what you did for me. for who you are and your love for me. That's what I want to say for. I often think about this stuff. And Paul in Philippians chapter 2 actually goes on to say this after he says death to a cross. He says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friend, this morning, can you join me in thinking about the enormity of the gift that was given? It's incredible. It's amazing. There's nothing like that. There's nothing you'll unwrap today that can ever come close to the gift that you've already been given. Can you join me in thinking about the awe of His love for you? Just taking that moment, maybe around the table, we'll hold hands and say grace and thank Him for the love. Because there is no stopping of it. In fact, Romans tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 8, there is nothing you can do to stop Him from loving you. Nothing. There's friends here today, maybe you're thinking, oh, I don't know whether He loves me. Yes, He does. Insanely so. And he chases you like the hound dog of heaven. Why? Because He just wants to be with you in His family. That's what He did. That's why He sent His Son. But I'm wondering too, as the musicians come, thank you, ladies, for leading us in worship today. It's very special. I'm wondering whether you join me in worshiping Him. Can we sing, Oh Come Let Us Adore Him again, that one there? That'd be great. And I'd like to just spend just a moment or two just worshiping Him and giving Him the glory. Because this little baby, this unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Yes, it's a beautiful wording. But when you realize what that means, wow. It's the most incredible gift that loves us, saved us, and is worthy of all of our worship. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's all stand and let's sing this song.
this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be a glory gift. Word of the Father, now in fresh appearing, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. I will praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever, Christ the Lord.
We'll sing that again.
We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever.
Father, thank you for the most incredible gift. And Lord, I want to thank you for loving us. And Lord, I want to say we will worship you and praise you, Lord, forever and ever. And Lord, we can't wait until, Lord, in eternity, we don't have to ever stop. Lord, that we will just see it and we'll be it all the time. Lord, I pray, Lord God, for every family here, every person, every group of friends, Lord, that, Lord, there'd be a special unity today. Let there be peace around the table. Let there be joy unspeakable. And Lord, may we celebrate the birth of our Savior in style today. Bless each, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have the most incredible Christmas. Love someone on the way out and tell them they're amazing and wish them a Merry Christmas. God bless you.